new orders, new communities coming into existence in the 16th century and, of course, now in the 20th century. The last figure the Vatican gives me is 800 new religious communities since the Second Vatican Council. 800. Because so many are going out of existence, being wiped out. Most of the women's communities in America will disappear. They are disappearing. I've helped people to form, I would say, at least 12 new communities, both men and women. A religious order, when St. Ignatius wanted to found a religious order, the cardinals in the Vatican said, "What's he talking about? No more religious orders. Dominicans, Franciscans, Benedictines, but no more." Then St. Ignatius got all the priests, maybe about 200 priests, and altogether, the figure that I remember was over 5,000 masses. Ignatius had the priests to say, day after day, asking our Lord to change the Pope's mind. And it worked. So then, he formed a religious order of the two kinds of members, those taking solemn vows and those taking civil vows. And most Jesuits do not take solemn vows. So, mendicant order. An order over the centuries, that's the only kind of religious community that existed, religious orders. And there were no women's communities until the 16th century, which were not contemplative. No exception. All religious communities approved by the Holy See were contemplative. No active apostolic communities. Well, with the rise of both women's communities and the active apostolate, and the grave needs in the church, then congregations were formed. Second Vatican Council, almost but not quite, but almost erased the difference between a religious order and a pontifical congregation. The language, pontifical congregation. Over the centuries, there have been especially two main differences. Once congregations came into existence, two main differences. Difference number one, members of religious congregations, unless they were dispensed from their vows, that's religious orders. Because from the 16th century on, the church began to give dispensation from final vows for religious orders. But now, since the 16th century until Vatican II, when a member of a congregation with final, perpetual vow a vow of consecrated chastity without a dispensation, if they entered marriage, that marriage, of course, was illicit, was a grave sin, But it was valid. It was his orders that marriage would be invalid. Am I clear? And that was true until Vatican II came with his orders. But for his congregations, the marriage would be illicit, sinful, but valid. Vatican II changed that. Any religious, even though belonging to a congregation and has final vows, cannot marry validly without, of course, a dispensation which the Church now gives to final vows. Secondly, over the centuries and to this day, with his orders taking a vow of poverty, which is not merely a vow of dependence, but a vow of dispossession. In other words, once you take your final vows, you not only may not use anything without permission, but you cannot, and the verb is, you cannot own anything. And the Church strongly encourages, Second Vatican Council, I've told your chapter, telling Mother from almost the first time we met, Mother, whatever you do, please make sure that as soon as possible, your missionaries of charity take a final vow of poverty, which is a vow of dispossession. Am I clear? When you own nothing. Now, I understand you're pretty close to that, but not quite, right? Not quite. Close.
Inheritance is the thing that's really personal, unless it gets...
At any rate. Now, with the Missionary and Charity Fathers, as I was working with their constitutions, I told them, look, you are priest or priest-to-be. And I pleaded with them, make sure that your vow of poverty is a vow of dispossession. And they got it. Now, there are two kinds of vows of dispossession. There's a vow of personal dispossession, and there is a vow of corporate dispossession. Personal dispossession means that the individual person, religious, cannot own anything. That's my vow. Over the years, I get money. I write books, I give lectures, and depending on what I write, depending on the company, I get checks made in my name. Who no more think of signing that check and taking the money. I would jumping into Lake Michigan, and I don't swim. So personal dispossession is the individual gives up the personal right to own. Mind you, notice not to use. There'll be no religious, there's no religious poverty. If at least the use what you may own, independent of superiors, at least there is the vow of poverty of dependence. For dispossession, personal, as I've just described, for the individual. Now, am I being heard?
Yes.
Corporate dispossession.
Yes.
came into the church through St. Francis of Assisi.